Hello and welcome back to another episode of Only a Bag. This is season 2, episode 3. I am your host, Nathaniel Mellor, and with me today, as always,
is Darcy Melton. It's me.
It's her. So today we're going to talk about Florence. In the last episode, we talked about how Florence is a day trip from Rome. Mm-hmm. And in this episode, we kind of wanted to start introducing Florence. So the three things we figured we kind of cover in this episode, more or less, would be sort of a brief, very brief history of Florence, in the sense that we've never really given a history of Rome, and we probably won't continue to give histories simply because it is a little bit like...
We're not qualified.
That's the thing. Yeah. So we're going to give a very unqualified historical review, and then we're going to talk about getting to Rome. What am I talking about? Getting to Florence. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about getting around Florence, like specifically public transportation, walking as well, but... That's a little bit more, I think, not obvious, like, in a bad way, but obvious, like, it's such a small city center that it's this sort of classic way to see Florence, I believe.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's I won't say it's laid out in a grid, because I don't actually know, but it is fairly easy to walk around. We don't need to really explain any of that. It's not complicated.
It is definitely laid out easily, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, the history.
Yeah, I think one of the things that struck us most whenever we first visited Florence is how much newer it looks compared to other Italian cities that we'd been to. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, it's like it's super young in comparison. It feels super young in comparison. And I think even like something that when people that you've met with this new job of yours, they often kind of have this concept, this idea that all of Italy is about roughly the same age. Mm-hmm. And while potentially it's true in the sense of like, if we're talking like prehistoric settlements, if we're talking Etruscans versus Lucanians kind of thing, that is very, very possible. Again, we don't have any experience in this field.
Yes.
but I think in terms of just sites, is that a fair way to say it? Like in terms of like what you go to Florence to see, what you go to Rome to see, what you go to Naples to see,
are they from different time periods? And it's easy. I mean, it's easy to smush them all together in your head. But ancient times and like the Renaissance didn't coexist,
right?
You know,
right.
Which is something that I still don't really have straight in my mind. It's just kind of hard to.
Yeah.
You know, pick the pieces apart sometimes.
It's like once it's more than 100 years old, I'm just sort of like, wait a second. How long ago is 1,000 years? Because I have no frame of reference for that. Like a year seems like a nightmare for me. So that helps some of our dear listeners.
Yeah, so exactly. I mean, when you think about Rome, one of the big sites is the Roman Forum. And that was actually started in the 7th century BC. So parts of it... I guess you can still see little bits of that, are really, really old. And the Pantheon is from 126 AD. And
we're reading this off of a note card, by the way, just in case it sounds like...
I want to get all the facts straight because, like I said, I cannot keep straight when these things are from. But the Colosseum is, I'm looking at my notes... is from 70 to 80 AD.
Which, so, if I may throw in there, that is about 700 years after the start of the Forum. So while the Colosseum and the Forum are touching, and you get a ticket for both of them, they aren't actually like from that same time period, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they weren't started in the same time period.
Yeah, they weren't started.
I don't know if things were being added onto the Forum in that
time. Oh, for sure. I imagine that somebody's building a shop or something. I don't know what they're doing to the Forum. Somebody's doing some renovations or something. Because that one, I think, is it has a much longer historical span, if that makes sense. It's like they build a temple one
century. Yeah, it has a large, it has a much longer lifespan. I mean, it's been, you know, built and then destroyed or built, I mean, by humans or by, you know, weather.
People are just burning it because Rome.
And then rebuilt and added onto and taken away from. Yeah, it's been, you know. But yeah, so the Pantheon and the Colosseum are all from, you know, 70 to 126 AD. Long time ago, and most of what you're gonna see in Florence is from the Middle Ages and then the Renaissance, which is
pretty much like, I mean, basically, if we, one of the things we read is that which actually helped, I mean, helped us in the sense that, like, we mentioned it, Florence is so new, but it's like the start of Florence in that sort of as it is now is like 1100s basically. Mm-hmm. And then even a lot of the sites are much later than that, 100-200 years being much later in this context. But if that helps, I think that because of that was something that, like, for you and I, it like, even though it was started, you know, by, it's like a Roman veteran soldier camp. Mm-hmm. It's like for 1,000 years, it has a really rocky history. And then it was like,
yeah, for 1,000 years after the Pantheon and the Colosseum, there were not a lot of buildings happening.
Right.
At least that we see today.
Right. No. And then we have some dates for you as well.
Yeah. So just for reference, I'm going to read you my notes. So the Palazzo Vecchio is from the 1200s, and that's in the...
basically, it's kind of center of town.
Yeah. And that's in the Piazza della Signora. So yeah. That's like the big, big piazza. And that's from the 1300s. So those are, I mean, roughly in 100-year range. They're not so far apart. And then the Ponte Vecchio was a poor thing. It was built by the Romans and then flooded away and then built again and then flooded away. So the parts that you see now, the oldest bits at least, are from around 1345. And then the Duomo took 140 years to complete. So it was finished in 1436. And then the
dome actually took the longest, I think is what it was. It was like, for a while, it was like they really mm-hmm. would have had no
Well, roof. They hit a whole bunch of snags. I mean, I think the plague happened or something, though.
Oh, there you go.
Some big sickness happened and halted construction.
Yeah. I guess this happens when you spend 100 years building something.
It's 140.
You're going to...
But all, I mean, really, there was like a bunch of stuff that went on, it's my understanding.
All for the dome.
Yeah.
It's a good dome.
The Pitti Palace is from the 1400s. I think they also had issues with the plague during their construction. Makes sense, it was all in the 1400s. And then the Uffizi, the Galleria Uffizi, is from the 1500s.
Yeah. So they're all like in that, like as we mentioned earlier, it's like they're all in that like 200, maybe 300 year span between like mm-hmm. the 1200s and the 1500s.
Mm-hmm. It's from, so Florence, a lot of what you see is from the Middle Ages and then into the Renaissance, and other sites in Rome are also from the Renaissance. Basically, Florence was the cultural capital of the Renaissance in Italy. I believe the cultural capital of the Renaissance, it's where the Renaissance started. And then Rome was kind of like a secondary cultural capital. They had like a bit of a...
it was also cool too.
Yeah, they're like kind of a... They were battling like actually, but like word battling, culturally battling.
That's what you have to do it.
Yeah, trying to build some cool stuff, make some nice art.
I like that. But also this language. We talked about that in the last mm-hmm. episode. We very brief, I think it was a lot. No, the first episode, North versus South. Mm-hmm. We talked about how like basically Italian started in Florence and through a variety of basically through people like Dante and through the fact that it was also like a geographically positioned between the North and the South, which made it really easy. Like as far as like a central language, like if we both at least spoke this one central language, we can communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. It became the language of Italy today. So that's, it's kind of cool just because the idea is the Italian you hear is in theory pretty much like unchanged from 400 or 500, 600 years ago, ideally, except with some new words thrown in there.
Yeah, and is it called Fiorentini? If it's, is it, or just, is it Italian?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, because I think it was the Florentine dialect, Florentine dialect. So it's like Fiorentine, dialetto di Fiorentina. Not so. But either way, if you've been learning Italian, there is no place better to try your Italian out than in Florence.
Mm-hmm. Or Fiorenza. Even though a lot of them speak English. But that is the birthplace of Italian, so it's exciting.
A lot of them speak French too. If you're ever, mm-hmm. I don't know why, but like my dad does not speak French, but he kept saying like merci and like s'il vous plaît, and I'm like, we're not in France. If you could just throw out some Italian, that'd be helpful. But he would say these things, and then people respond in French, and he'd just look at them, and I'm like, no, he doesn't. He doesn't speak French. He's just, it's the only other language he knows. He's just trying. I'm so sorry.
Makes him look cool.
It makes him look cool in America, where he's like, oh, that might be a French man. I mean, he lives in Maine, so he just is liable to look like he's Canadian. But I'm like, when you're in Italy, they speak, so many of them will speak French. It's a little bit, it sort of just was like, well, I think the secret's out now. So I think that's the end of the history lesson. Yeah.
Ends with my French. Yeah, let's talk about getting to Florence.
That's a good place to go. So there are three major ways to get to Florence. And if you've already made your trip, you've already planned it, you probably already know how to do this. But if you haven't, if you're trying to work in your trip, if you're still trying to figure out your agenda, this might be more helpful, I mm-hmm. think. Three ways being...
Flights are the biggest one.
Easy.
Most people don't fly into Florence. I'm willing to guess that if you're coming straight to Italy from your home country, there might not be a flight to Florence. Yeah. I think there are probably some of those really cheap, like Wizz Airs, that still exist.
I think so.
Ryanair. I'm guessing some of those have a little, you know, quick flight from small places in
the rest of Europe, basically.
Yeah, the rest of Europe. But that's, you're probably not going to arrive in Florence.
Yeah.
By plane. Not to freak any of you out, but we also have heard stories about how short the runway is in Florence.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, what is it the guy said? You have to brace yourself on the...
On the thing.
Yeah,
on
the flight...
On the thing in front of you, yeah.
Yeah, the flight attendants will direct you to basically brace yourself on the seat in front of you.
Because it's such a short runway that you land and you like they have to immediately stop.
Yeah.
And he thought it was like a gentle bracing, apparently. And we overheard this conversation on a train, by the way. So, you know, grains of salt and all that. But apparently it was quite a kind of eventful landing. However, Pisa is probably, it's a much bigger airport. And so you're much more likely, to find flights to Pisa if you are looking to come to Florence.
Mm-hmm. What is it that, Delta runs a summertime only flight from the US to Pisa?
To Pisa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's basically the only EU, what am I talking about? US to Tuscany direct flight. It's only in the summer and it's only through Delta. Mm-hmm. And that's at the time of recording this. It might be different, obviously, by the time you're looking at it. It's going to be harder to go back and like re-record this one part. So we'll try to keep that sort of information up to date on our website, onlyabag.com, link in the description. I'm doing some fun little cross-pollination for our same company.
But if you don't fly, there's also buses.
There are also buses, and it's probably one of the more common ways to get to Florence, I imagine.
Yeah, because if you're going to Florence, you are either likely already in another European city or another Italian city, and the bus is just easy.
Yeah, and if you're coming from pretty much any... I should warn you, if you're also coming from like Milan or something, just look at the map and actually like just put in the distance, because I think some of these places, again, people think that like, oh, they're right next to each other. It really isn't. It's still like 4 or 5 hours on a bus, mm-hmm. Depending on how many stops the bus makes and this and that and the other thing. And I think it's pretty much safe to say that a bus, when you look up like the Google Maps driving distance, driving time, the bus will go slower simply because they can't go over a certain speed.
Mm-hmm. And they have to make stops.
So you're going to kind of, it's just something to consider. It's just like, I know a lot of people think that like it is such a small country, but it is. I mean, relatively, it's quite small.
Yeah, as a country, it's small, but it's still not fast to get around. Things are still far apart.
Exactly.
But some of the big buses, just in case you want to look it up, are like Flixbus.
Yeah.
Right?
ITA Bus, which is ITA Bus.
Mm-hmm.
Merino Bus, I think, does it.
I think that's one, yeah. And then Autolinea Toscana, right?
Yeah, if you're in Tuscany already. Which is like, basically, you're staying in Siena, mm-hmm. Arezzo or Pisa. Mm-hmm. It's right there. I mean, you just hop on the bus and it's super easy because those tickets, unless I'm mistaken, those tickets don't have any like surge pricing or they don't change by anything like that. It's all done by kilometer. So you pay for how far you go, which really makes it easy getting around Tuscany, in my opinion, because you're not having to worry about like pre-booking or, you know, we got to make this decision soon. So if it's, and we'll talk about it a little later, but if you're going from like Florence to Siena, you just show up at the bus station and be like, I want to book the next bus out of here. They give you a ticket and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly is trains.
Trains, which is, I think, always our favorite way of traveling.
It's because I'm tall and I need leg room, but also
but
the bathroom.
Fast trains. Yeah. Fast trains are amazing.
Yeah.
There's a fast train from Rome to Florence that only takes like an hour and a half, which I think is insane because usually it would take like 3 hours by the regular transit. I don't know, bus or
but even like
train.
Honestly, the regular train takes like I think it's a regional train that when mm-hmm. we talked about in the last episode going to the beaches and stuff, that takes legit like 3 to 4 hours just because it makes all these stops.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fast train, hour and a half.
I just think it's amazing.
And there's the two fast trains, to be clear, like, and we'll put links in description. One of them might be an affiliate link. It might not. I can't remember if we have affiliate links to these things, but the point is we can't run ads anymore because they changed the way we can run ads. So anyway,
if you want to support us, please click the affiliate link. It just means that we get a tiny bit of cents.
Like,
you know,
usually it's like a dollar or something, but
we
get
a whole
forever.
Dollar maybe.
But it's Italo, which is ITALO, is a sort of private fast train line. Mm-hmm. And then there's Trenitalia, which runs the Frecciarossa, which is, and there's like a bunch of different things, but like the Frecciarossa 1000 or the Frecciarossa.
Or the Freccia Bianca. Isn't that super fast?
That's super slow, actually, apparently.
Oh, never mind. Don't listen
I
to
always
that.
Thought it was faster. And I was kind of telling people it was faster. And then I look at the catalog on the train and they tell you which ones are fastest. And it turns out like it's really slow in comparison.
So Freccia Rossa is the fastest.
Freccia Rossa 1000 is the fastest.
Okay.
And when you buy tickets on Trenitalia, it'll tell you, it'll be like Freccia Rossa 500.
And it also tells you how long the journey is.
And it also tells you how long the journey is. So that's a pretty big indicator as well.
Go by that.
The only thing that's different is some of those fast trains, it's like they some have... like Wi-Fi, some have like vending machines, but some have a whole bar. Like we mm-hmm. really like the ones, actually we've just got to get a little fancy, but the ones with a whole bar, because you can go get a coffee. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a little, you're paying a little extra, I'll be honest, but it's not bad. Like $4 for a beer on a train isn't like the end of the world.
We've never gotten a beer on a train, but that is not the
price.
Worst.
Is that really how much they cost?
Oh, dang, I'm not having a beer on a train. I mean, it's kind of like the old school train travel. It's not the same.
Well, it is, but except you don't get, like, if you've ever seen that movie Tourist with Angelina Jolie and
Johnny Depp.
There we go. Yeah, and they have like dinner on the train, and it's this super nice dining car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that obviously does not exist here. Maybe it does. I don't know. But it's really kind of
we've never participated in anything like that.
More like a cafeteria. I think it was really nice because we got coffees there. It's just kind of fun to kind of have a little coffee on your journey. But also, like, you know, they have sandwiches and chips and snacks and champagne and things like that. So
yeah, it's really nice. And there's a fast train from Milan to Florence.
There is,
that takes about 2 hours, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And on, I'll just say regular other travel, it would usually take like 4 hours.
Basically the bus. And again, the slower train would take about 4 hours. But mm-hmm. this is that also, like we were talking the last episode about day trips from Rome and how Florence is a day trip simply because it's an hour and a half to get there. And it's a small like city center. Like all the interesting things are kind of in one area, especially if you're, this seems ridiculous. I'm like, if you're less interested in going into like the Uffizi and more interested in walking around, mm-hmm. you can easily see Florence
in
a day.
It's easy to get from the train station.
Yeah.
Majorly. You could just walk into the center. The historical center.
It's like a 5-minute walk from the train station. Maybe 7-minute walk from the train station, basically into the historical center. But essentially, there's like one road. Not really. There's a couple roads, but there's one pretty clearly defined road
mm-hmm.
that goes from a major road into a sort of pedestrian road, and then all of a sudden you're right in front of the Duomo, and then you're like, oh, I guess I'm in the middle of town now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because from Milan it's only 2 hours, so in theory it's also a day trip from Milan, but. It's a little, potentially less feasible. There's an extra hour of travel time in there, 30 minutes on either end. But again, if it was one of those things where you're not going that far south into Italy, if you're like, we're going from Milan or maybe Torino, and then we're going to go to like, you know, Venice, and then we're going to go, you know, back up to Germany or Austria, you know, you can absolutely make a day trip out of, very haggard, very like long day trip, but just go from to Florence and maybe even Siena, because Siena is only about an hour away from Florence mm-hmm. on the bus.
We're going to talk about this in a different episode, but if you're thinking about day trips from Florence, if you're going to use Florence as a hub, I can't recommend going. We've never been to Milan, but I haven't heard great things about Milan. I mean, it's like a business center. It's a fashion center. I don't know that it has...
There's a cool cathedral.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely some things there for sure.
I don't want to make fun of Milan or make it seem bad. I'm just saying, if you have a limited time, I guess my point is that it's a good idea, in my opinion, to go from Florence to Milan for the day rather than staying in Milan and going to Florence for the day, because Florence is just beautiful.
Well, it's also Florence is kind of just more classically Italian. Again, we have not been to Milan, so grain of salt with all this. We haven't been to Torino. We've seen pictures. It looks beautiful, but it's also like very, very, very new in mm-hmm. the sense it's like a lot of it's like 18th century, mm-hmm. 19th
looks
century.
Quite French though. Torino looks cool to me.
Yeah, no, Torino looks amazing. It's one of those things again where it's like if you want like, I want the history of Italy, it's you kind of have to go south. So there is that bit of a problem. However, that is all to say, yes, so getting the last method of getting to Florence is on the train. You almost are certainly going to arrive at Santa Maria Novella, which is the main train station.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite fascist era
it's like brutalist architecture? Is that what
it's
called?
I don't think it's brutalist. No, I think it's just like fascist architecture.
I don't think it's called fascist architecture.
Well,
I think that's what you and I call it.
Well, it's beautiful. I mean, it's not really actually that nice. I've got to be honest. If you're expecting really nice, like Gare du Nord in Paris, beautiful. I'm surely mispronouncing it, but like, it's beautiful. It's got the cast iron. It's glass. It's got the big board that does that thing.
Yes, you know? I mean, the clickety-clackety old school arrivals and departures.
Gare du Nord, but or amazing. C'est bon. I don't know how to say, I don't know French. I'm not my father. But no, I think a lot of train stations we've seen, like Termini in Rome, is just, it's a train station. Mm-hmm.
It's
new.
It's quite new. Yeah.
It's, you know,
it just looks like a train station.
The one in Florence, they tore down the beautiful old, you know, like 19th century one to build this sort of, I don't know. I don't like it. It's just,
it looks like a bank.
Yeah. It kind of, it's like built for business is the yeah. very much I the mean, energy
it's
of
interesting.
It. Oh, it's fascinating. They still have all the old signs for like yeah. newspaper, shoe shiner, things like that. Mm-hmm. Insurance, VAT, taxes, something like that. They have this whole, like all these old 1920s signs, 1930s signs that kind of basically like denoting what things are. And now of course they're all like sandwich shop and bookstore and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's, times have changed, but it's not like maybe my favorite ever train station. Mm-hmm. And that's all to say that like, I definitely came to Italy expecting to see beautiful train stations, and most of them are incredibly functional.
Yes.
And that's about it.
Pretty much.
And the majority of them, I think, are just like, I mean, the majority of train stations obviously in Italy are simply just platforms outside. Like you might find in anywhere that has like a regional, like Long Island, you know, has the LARR yeah. and it's a bunch of platforms similar. Outside. It's like, there's nothing, there's no Penn Station really, which is even, or actually probably should I say Grand Central Station, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no
better example.
Much better example. There's no Grand Central, I think, in a lot of that we've seen yet.
Yet, yeah.
That's not to say in the north or something like that that might have a newer, like newer in the sense of like they destroyed their 18th century to build a 19th century one. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. Did there 18th century train stations? Did somebody convert something? I have no idea how old trains
Let's
are.
Let's move on and talk about bus station, which is right next to the train station. Only because, again, we're not qualified to talk about the age
We really
buildings.
Aren't. People are listening to me like, what kind of guy thinks their trains are running in the... I'm like, I don't know. I just know they make a choo-choo sound.
Okay, so the buses.
The buses.
Make a room vroom sound. No, so the bus...
Someone really do, though.
The
really
bus, the bus station is basically... Is it actually physically connected to the train station?
No,
okay,
I
it
don't
does not
so.
Have the same entrance, but it's basically in the same spot, I will say.
It's essentially, it's right next to it, yeah. Super easy to find. But it's in a garage, so it's... okay, so it's like a lot of the bus stations we've seen in Italy are outdoors. So they're very obvious. They're mm-hmm. like, where's the bus station? Do you see the 73 buses lined up? That's where you need to go. In Florence, it's in a garage. So it's kind of like all you see is a sort of entrance to a garage and then some walkways in there. And I don't recall the signage being very clear. I'll be honest. I don't recall
I don't think
it being
so
like,
either.
And to
I
be
mean,
fair,
it's
the
clear,
sign
like,
is never
looking,
clear.
Yeah, it's kind of not. If you're looking on Google Maps, you know,
yeah,
that,
Google
that's
Maps actually
how
has exactly,
it. It's exactly where it is. But the signage on the buildings is... I don't remember seeing a whole lot.
And I think that's what threw us off the first time, because when we almost always use Google Maps to find things like this, and the aerial view, the satellite view, will show like all the buses lined up. So you're like, of course that's where it is. And this has the pin dropped on a building, and we're like, am I going in the building? I don't understand. And then I was like, oh, okay, it's the garage to the building. Mm-hmm. But that's where you're pretty much going to catch, I guess, all the buses. I'm assuming almost all the buses go there. But again, I really want you all to take the grain of the salt, because they might have... like other stops that we're not aware of. Some of these low cost bus carriers, they don't go to like the main stop. They go to an off stop because mm-hmm. it's a little bit cheaper.
If you're thinking about like day trip buses to get outside of the city rather than buses for inside of the city.
Yeah. Yes. Thank mm-hmm. you. Yeah.
And you really will very likely not be taking a bus if you're just around Florence. I mean, obviously you might be taking a bus if you're leaving Florence, but most things that you're probably going to want to see, and you're probably going to be staying in the historic center, and it's all pretty centrally located. You know,
we're talking about city buses now?
Yes. Right.
Okay, yes, city buses. Okay.
So basically you're probably not going to be taking like a city bus from site to site. You're going to be walking.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a map, and unfortunately the map is out of date, so we're going to upload it like in the description of this, but then I realized it's out of date in the sense that Autolinee Toscana has basically bought out the previous company. It was like, don't even know the name of it, in 2021. And they kind of took the map off the website, and they're like, use our app instead to find out your best route. So there's no like one big map of like, here's all the routes, but essentially the old map does show that there's essentially a little ring around the old part of Florence, where like no buses go into because it's all pedestrian only, except for a couple areas where you can drive into it if you have, it must be like some little RFID chip or something, because it's like there's these little pylons, these little ballast rods. But as soon as like a car comes by, they drop and they lower. And that's all to say, it's like, so the old center, as Darcy mentioned, I'm pointing at her in case you can't see us. I'm not sure why you'd be able to, is all pedestrian only pretty much. It's so it makes it actually kind of feels a little safer just cause you're not going to get hit by something.
I mean, there are streets with cars, like where we were staying in the city center.
Sorry. Yes.
There are cars, but it is very easy to walk around. Yeah. To get to all sides.
And I think taxis somehow don't count as pedestrians. Like, they also count as pedestrians. I don't know. Because sometimes the only cars you'll see in some of these areas are only taxis. So they must be some sort of thing where they can go, like, to the door of a hotel that no one else can go to by car.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, so basically, so city buses, they can take you to the Piazza Michelangelo. I'm going to say it in American English. Michelangelo. Because it's a... If you don't know the Piazza Michelangelo, it is a, if you've ever seen like an aerial view, not even aerial, if you've seen a bird's eye view of Florence, mm-hmm. like where it's pretty much just like the skyline and then Duomo, it's almost certainly taken from the Piazza Michelangelo, which is essentially a view of Florence, a really beautiful view of Florence. It's a really popular spot in like sunset. Everybody's up there. There's a rose garden up there. We'll talk about it more in one of our next episodes, we're going to go into more on sites and galleries and things. However, there is a bus there, because if you don't take the bus, it is about a 10-minute walk there and then a 10-minute walk uphill.
I think it's only 10 minutes? I think it's more than that.
Maybe 30 minutes altogether.
I have small legs.
You have small legs, is that what it is? So you count on 30 minutes. And again, it's one of those things where depending on who you're going with and their physical abilities, mm-hmm. it's might not be possible
to walk up.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very easy walk. I'm going to be clear in the sense of like, don't, if you're like, I can walk uphill, you're fine. It's just, I realized we were with some people who could not walk up.
It just depends on your personal limits. I mean, but also you and I walk quite a lot.
True.
I mean, almost no matter where we are, we walk a lot, whether it's here in Rome or in our hometown, Savannah, like it's flat. So we walk a lot, but the small town that we live in Italy, we walk up hills and mountains frequently, so we're used to walking and we like walking, so it was good for us. But
No, that's a good point. If you're used to walking, basically.
Yeah. If you do not enjoy walking, there's, like you said, there's a bus to get up there.
But I was gonna say, if you don't enjoy walking, Florence is gonna maybe not be super for you, simply because there is very little transport around the inside of Florence. And when I say that, I mean like between the Uffizi and the Palazzo Vecchio, mm-hmm. The Duomo and like the Galleria Accademia, there's no transportation. It's all walking. Again, you might be able to catch a taxi. I don't really know how that works.
Depends on, like we said, your physical needs. My mom is not an avid walker. It's not so that she doesn't walk around. She's, kind of average American and that she doesn't walk everywhere. But she did fine in Florence, I think. I think mm-hmm. she was comfortable with it. But it is important. We're going to talk about, like Nathaniel said, the sites and things to do, galleries to go to. Don't overbook yourself, because then you will be running around and that can be really hard depending mm-hmm. on who you are.
And if I may, like the last thing I'll throw in on the walking is, it's like, I think your mom was used to the scale of Rome because we spent for some time in Rome first.
Mm-hmm.
And where it is like 10 minutes of walking in Rome will honestly not like get you anywhere.
Yeah.
It takes like 6 minutes to get from the entrance of the Vatican to like outside of St. Mark's Square. Like it's, or maybe not really. That's a hyperbole, maybe 3 minutes. But the point is,
what? I think it takes longer than that.
Just across that piazza?
Oh, across the piazza. Sorry. Yeah. I was thinking outside of Vatican City.
No, the Vatican City, it that does take a minute to walk. So I say that because it's like, is this kind of sense of scale gets distorted a little bit in
mm-hmm.
in Rome when you're like, oh, we'll walk from the Colosseum to like the Altar of the Fatherland, which is this giant structure at the end of the Forum. Because it's like, oh, it's right there. But then I'm like, that is a 10 to 12 minute walk. And it's not like that easy, especially when it's sunny. And it means a lot of that stuff. It's just the scale, I think, is different.
So do you think Florence is more walkable?
Only because it's like all the good stuff is like, I mean, between the Pitti Palace all the way to Accademia, which might be the extent of where you're going to go, is just walking, not visiting these things. So it's like maybe 20 minutes of walking. And then you hit like the Pitti Palace, you hit the old bridge. What is that one called? Ponte Vecchio.
Ponte Vecchio, it's the old bridge.
You get the Uffizi, you get the Palazzo Vecchio, you get the
Duomo. Yeah, they really are so close to each other.
Yeah, so it's a lot. If you're basically, it's a great micro walking area. If that mm-hmm. However, if you like walking, if you're an avid walker, if you're like, I really kind of want to explore, then by all means, there is so much to explore. I think you and I spent a couple evenings just kind of walking around when we needed some peace and quiet from our families. But it was really nice because it was just like, oh, there's a bunch of winding streets. There's a bunch of things to kind of get lost in. There's a bunch mm-hmm. of like, obviously nobody's going to go over here and find these things. Kind of like just, it's not on the way to one of the big sites, mm-hmm. but it's still really quite beautiful. So I think anyone who likes walking is going to have a fantastic time walking around.
Florence? Yeah. For sure. It's amazing. It's have we talked about trams in Florence?
Not yet.
Okay. Let's talk about trams.
Let's do it. Tram it up.
Again, you will likely not be taking a tram if you're going to be in the historic center most of the time, or all the time.
Yeah, and I think there's only two tram lines in theory, in the sense that it runs in like an X, I believe. And this isn't like 100% accurate, but it's like a north to south and then like an east to west. And it's more of an X than that, but it's still, there's like, they had one tram line that just ran on a line, and then they introduced another one that sort of ran perpendicular to it a little bit. There is a tram stop right outside of Santa Maria Novella, which is the
main train station.
Main train station. SMN, by the way. If you're in Florence or around Florence, you're looking at buses or something, a lot of people abbreviate it as Florence SMN. I don't think any of the other train stations are ever seen or abbreviated, but that one almost always is because it's such a lengthy word. So even if you're looking like on Trainline or Trenitalia, by the way, it's Firenze SMN.
Mm-hmm. That's a good note.
Thank you.
I forget about that.
I do too, because it's like when we were first looking it up.
It was very confusing. Like, what is this thing? Yeah. Where is the train station?
Well, only because too, like if you're in, I know this is, I'm getting so off topic, but if you're in Rome, there's an area of Rome called EUR, and it's a sort of like a 1920s, I don't even know what it was built for. I think it was a World Fair or something like that was over there. It was something, maybe it was a little bit before that, but it's a weird little area of Rome. So sometimes they'll be like going to Rome EUR. And I'm like, is that like an abbreviation for some sort of, train stop or airport? I don't know what it is. So I'm like, when we saw Florence SMN, we're like, that can't be it, because that's probably some weird area outside of Florence that we don't need to go to. And then we realize, oh, that's an abbreviation for their main train station.
Isn't Newark in New Jersey, isn't that EWR?
Yeah.
I think that's what I always think of. So I'm like, that's got to be out of the way.
That's a good point. Nobody wants to go there.
I've been primed by that.
I'm kidding. People from New Jersey, we love you. So all that is to say, there are trams. They are not that helpful. However,
they're not that helpful if you're in the historic center.
If you're staying in the historic center, yeah. And we don't really, again, I know that we don't talk about this when it came to Rome, because it's so much to cover when it's the size of city, when a city the size of Rome. Like, people ask, what's the best place to stay? But it's kind of like, it's so heavily depends on the person you are with a place like Rome. Because it's like, you know, you can literally stay anywhere and you'd have a great time. Because also there's so many neighborhoods and they're so varied. And they're very much like for different types of people, if that makes sense. Like, people want something quieter. People want to be in the action. People want to be near the historic things. But they're okay with staying in a kind of a weird little hovel of a house, because you can't renovate some of these things simply because it's so old. Mm-hmm. And Florence is a little bit easier. Oh, you're gonna say something? She is not saying something. She's shaking her head. We do want these little placards we can hold up to be like, I get to talk next. We don't have it. Right now we just stare at each other and be like, are you gonna go next? And
it's really working out so far.
So far it's been great. I don't know if you can tell, there's no friction. But in Florence, it's a little bit easier, because really there is one basically, there is the center of town.
Right.
There is the center of town kind of that's over the bridge. And then there's outside of Florence, not really remotely outside of Florence. You're very much in the metropolitan / businessy / new.
But you're just not in the historic center.
Yeah.
Or probably where most tourists would be, just because it's more convenient to be in the historic center.
That being said, though, if you are looking, like, if we talk about that, we are going to very briefly talk about that kind of stuff in another episode. But the trams are useful then, because it is all the, and I should probably add, we should both add, I'll add since I'm thinking about it, is the ticket price for the bus and the tram are the same. It's €1.50. You can get it at newsstands. You can get it at these little ticket machines. It is not a bad idea to get them at the ticket machine at Santa Maria Novella when you get into Florence. Stock up on like 10, 12 tickets, however many you think you're going to need, because they're only good for 90 minutes. And of course, once you validate them on board is when the time starts. And it's one of those things, again, just kind of keep in mind that people want their money. So you know, make an effort to validate them on board. I think we talk about this in the Rome episodes where mm-hmm. there are now, I mean, during COVID was a different, kind of a different beast. They stopped doing the controlling of tickets because I honestly couldn't even tell you why.
Probably lots of reasons.
They
made it slower and less frequent. People, like, it just wasn't as frequent to see people checking tickets, and then it kind of basically stopped, is what it seemed like.
Well, I think so, because then, I think they might have announced they stopped because once we came here last year, there were signs on everything basically saying ticket controllers have resumed. Please have your ticket ready, basically.
That's a good point, yeah. And they really have. I mean, we have seen it happening, and so now we are, like, super sure to validate our tickets.
Yeah, and I think that, and the same thing in Florence, like, and I say that because in Rome, it's such a chaotic monster. Like, sometimes you're only going to see ticket controllers in the center of town because that's where they're going to get the most people who have, basically, I think it's one of those things, the buses get so slammed and tourists are, like, nowhere near a ticket machine. So they're like, I'm not even going to worry about it. But of course, the next stop, ticket controllers get on mm-hmm. and they just start checking people's tickets.
But there's also Romans who are trying to, you know, get by the system. I feel like a lot of the time you see people who are Italian. They're like, I don't know. I just, you know, didn't do my ticket. And they fully knew and they just didn't want to pay for a ticket.
I always feel like it's tourists.
Oh, I always feel like it's Italians.
Man, it could be Italian tourists.
Could be.
No, but I say this so because in Florence it's the same thing. You can technically get your ticket on board the bus. But it seems like there's a very small chance of success with that. It also
in
costs
Florence,
more.
You can get your
in
ticket Florence, on the bus?
It's $250. You can talk directly to the bus driver.
That's right. But
they don't always have tickets, and you have to give them exact change. But again, if they don't have a ticket for you, it doesn't mean you can ride. It means you have to get off at the next stop. Otherwise, you're in
riding
trouble.
Illegally, yeah.
And again, I don't want to, like, put any... Again, I think we say these things, and it comes across, like, catastrophic. It's not like... You know, people are hunting for you. It's just simply, it happens a lot that basically, and it's really popular in Venice too. That's, like, the number one, I feel like, way that Venice gets money is that, like, nobody understands that you have to validate your ticket before you get on the water taxis, not once you're already on board.
The buses in Florence, where do you validate? On the bus, right?
On the bus, okay. Yeah. So on Florence, there's those little yellow ticket machines you'll see in, I guess, almost all these cities, like in Rome especially. I think even Salerno, they had the same things, but it's, like, basically...
Yeah, you validate it on the bus as well, the yellow ticket.
You just stick the ticket in and it stamps it. And of course, like, you know, it's always smart to double check the ticket to make sure it's been stamped. Like, to look at the ticket, stamp it, and then look at it again and make sure it's been stamped. Because sometimes if it's out of ink or something and it doesn't stamp your ticket, you can still get in trouble. Mm-hmm. So all this is to say, get your tickets ahead of time. They're €50, but interestingly, because Autolinee Toscana has bought up
Autolinea Toscana.
You're throwing an A at the end, I think.
No, Linea.
Linea.
No, Linea. L-I-N-E-A, right?
No, L-I-N-E-E.
That's how the word is spelled?
Yeah. It's Autolinee.
I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, well then my pronunciation's wrong.
We just paused to check out the spelling.
I was wrong.
It is auto. They're all Autolinee, Autolinee.
That's always how they're spelled?
Yeah, like Autolinee. I don't even,
that's,
but
that's,
it's like
madness. Wow.
I know. I avoid saying the Autoline part. I say Toscana or, like, whatever it is because it's
so,
such a
nightmare. Your point was, though, that you can use the same ticket,
tickets,
right?
Yes, in multiple cities, in pretty much any city that Autolinee Toscana operates in, which is like Arezzo, Siena, Pisa. There's a handful of others, like big and small. But it's not a bad idea if you're planning on a little Tuscany trip, a little Tuscany area thing, is to go ahead and get 10. And if you don't use them while you're in Florence, you can use them in Siena, you can use them in Pisa, you can use them wherever you go in Tuscany. However, you can't use them to get from Florence to another region. We'll talk about this more later, but in case you don't listen to that episode, those trips are done by distance. So you have to get a specific ticket for that. However, in Florence, newsstands, like the edicola, the little, like, places that just sell, like, newspapers and magazines and toys
the
and stuff. The tabacchi.
Where they sell cigarettes.
Yeah, and salt.
Salt, yeah.
the two most important things in life are cigarettes and salt. And I think that's a little machine.
We're not endorsing smoking, just to clarify.
Yeah,
that was
or,
a joke.
Or high blood pressure through the use of
yeah, but I
a
like
lot of salt.
Salt.
that one we are endorsing, apparently. No, so apparently they'll buy them there, €50, you know, and again, you can get as many as you need for your trip. But validate them on board. Same thing with the tram, same ticket, same price. And I I just check your tram, your tickets, just in case. They should have some instructions on them. But in theory, when they're valid for 90 minutes, it means you can like use it to go somewhere, see something, and get back on the bus and come back.
And you can use it across buses and trams, correct?
And that's, so I'm fairly certain you can use it across bus and tram.
To a stop, swap to the tram if you need to.
And that's like helpful if like, I mean, if you're, again, if you're spending 4 or 5 nights in Florence and you don't want to go out to eat all 4 or 5 nights, if you're like, I need to go to a grocery store, but the only grocery stores in the center of Florence are like these kind of really expensive tiny ones, because they have to be tiny because of the rent. I mean, because the space is tiny, but also the rent is high, so they have to be expensive. So you can kind of take the bus or the tram to one of the bigger grocery stores a little outside the city center, and that's a great way to do it. Like, if you can do it all in 90 minutes, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. But I think that's, I mean, yeah, otherwise, and we'll talk about more about, like, later about, like, staying in Florence city center versus staying outside of Florence city center, just in terms of just, it is cheaper, and there's some nice neighborhoods, and it's quieter. Mm-hmm. Because we
just depends on who you are and what kind of trip you want to have.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And I think that's everything, though, for this episode.
I think that wraps it up, yeah.
We took a couple detours there, but we're happy for everyone who made it this whole way.
Which is funny, because it's the transit. Transit episode is what we're talking about.
Making detours in the transit episode. What goes more hand in hand than that, than Italians and detours?
Okay. Is that a thing?
Well, no, but if you look at the Google Maps app, it's like there's always a detour of these buses. It's like they're constantly detouring them, which is, I gotta be honest, I think we've mentioned this every time we talk about the Rome Transit, but the same thing in Florence. When we were traveling with my dad, he didn't bring a smartphone. And so at some point we're going to do a whole episode on like the most important things you need to bring. And as much as we hate traveling with a smartphone, you kind of need it these days.
Yeah.
However, on public transit anywhere in Italy, but specifically Florence and specifically Rome and probably anywhere, it really helps to have like Google Maps or Apple. I have no idea if Apple Maps is remotely useful. I just, since they came out with a new updated version like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, that was just a nightmare. I haven't used it. But essentially it will kind of like, cause it, you know, keeps track of where you are. It helps you know what stop to get off of, cause there's no signs really. I mean, if it is, it's really kind of tiny, but sometimes it's not a sign at all. It's just like a little like post in the ground.
Yeah, it's really helpful to have that little blue dot indicating roughly where you are, so you know when to get off.
And that's like my dad basically didn't obviously at all know where to get off the first time he went to his apartment where we stayed at. Mm-hmm. And then the second time when he went by himself, he only knew because he's like, oh, I kind of recognize the area, so I just hopped off and hoped for the best. So I think it's just one of those things that's like,
but also he had no idea when the buses were coming,
zero clue.
Which bus or train that he needed,
because not an idea.
That information doesn't easily exist. If it does exist in any big city, it's not readily available, you know, to know where to go when the buses come, all the time. I mean, sometimes there are the little electronic signs that indicate when buses are coming, but not necessarily always where the buses are going.
Well, I mentioned that's the thing. It's like, especially in Rome, not all stops, but some stops now have that little electronic sign that says like bus, you know, 224 is coming in 3 minutes. But then when you look at the board for 224 to see where it's going, it doesn't say like Pantheon, and then afterwards,
right. It's the name Colosseum. Of the stop, and if you don't know the name of the stop because they're all sort of like named after somebody's last name, that's not helpful. And there's no map, so unfortunately, a smartphone really has become essential, at least for traveling in Italy. I think for traveling anywhere, but
it does help make sense of the chaos that is the transportation system here.
Yeah.
So I do think that. Plus, I mean, like just getting around, they almost always ask that you have your tickets on your phone now rather than having like the printout. I mean, they don't care if you have the printout tickets, but like during COVID it was a big thing, like please have the tickets on your phone. So I think it became second nature for so many people to have their tickets on their phone, which I guess does make it a little bit easier. I mean, nobody can steal your tickets unless they steal your phone, in which case you have bigger problems. But I think that's everything.
I think that's everything.
Thank you all so much for listening and keeping with us, keeping next to us as we journeyed through this episode.
Yeah, thanks for sticking with us through all that.
That's what I meant to say.
All right.
It feels like I'm ending a phone call. I'm like, big hugs. I'll talk to you guys soon. I don't really know. I don't really know what to.
Yeah, I second that.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how to sign off on this. So anyway.
Well, we're going to be talking to you more about Florence when we are back with our next episode.
All right. So thanks for listening to season 2, episode 3.
Yeah, thank you.
And
goodbye.